And so I want to talk about anger, righteous anger, and rage. Let's get into it. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Pain of Fools podcast. I am the Pain of Fool, and this space is for you. Welcome back. Welcome to the grounds of fertility. Welcome to the place where we are teachable and we apply the things that we learn in our lives, and we share those gifts, we share those lessons. We have elders as well, so we don't wander around here like lone wolves without any guidance. We apply the wisdom and guidance of the elders for a smooth and prosperous life, for that is the only life the elders want for us. If you don't know who I am and what I do, I'm a business owner of a multimedia company, my own, where I function primarily as an art instructor, a children's book illustrator, as well as the creator and producer of a children's show called The Painted Fool's Paint House, which I teach children how to paint, problem solve, and save the day. We create art, we shake the canvas, bring the art to life, and we serve ourselves and others. We also do different things like astral traveling, and we meditate and all types of things to just bring children into an imaginative space to remind them just how creative they are and how that can assist in day-to-day life. You can find the show streaming on the Goddess Talk Network, which is airing on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, those devices, and Comcast Big South. And you can also find the show on YouTube as well. Let's talk about anger now. It's an emotion that we all have felt at one point of our lives, whether in infancy, whether in our toddler years, we have our preteen years, our adolescent years, our adult life. We have at some point experienced, we felt anger. It's a natural emotion. It's an emotion that we're going to have and we have. Righteous anger is defined as an emotion felt when we observe mistreatment, to put it super plain. When you see someone being bullied, the righteous anger within you may cause you or push you to intervene to protect the one being bullied. Your righteous anger in the face of oppression of some sort will sometimes push you to speak out or to speak against or whatever it is. Rage, on the other hand, is anger that is in excess. And usually rage comes with something that, an anger that has not been examined and it has been held onto for prolonged periods of time. I want to talk about all of this, my relationship with it, because listen, I've been down the path of anger. I have recently conversed with someone and got out some things that I've been holding in for a long time. And with that holding in of things, place me at a door of making new decisions. It changed my life. But you can be in a state of rage and still go on about your day. And that's something that we want to avoid. What brings us there? And even in our righteous anger, in different social causes even, what can we do to examine that? How do we keep hold the reins on our anger to prevent ourselves from entering the state of rage and burning ourselves up from the inside out? All right, so I have a story to tell. A couple days ago, between myself and someone extremely close to me, closer to me than most, there was something that came up that upset me. And in truth, this was an issue that was swept under the rug for years that bothered me. And I knew that it grew a root. It established rootage. It established something. And over the course of years it was a not so pleasant root. But over the course of years, it continued to grow through my ignoring it and just brushing things under the rug and pretending as if I had no problem with the issue, that I'd be fine and whatever. And we fast forward years and years and years and years and years later that the issue came to a head. But at first, upon first discovery, it started off as irritation. And then I slept on the irritation, bad idea. And the following day, it grew into just straight anger, immediately progressing into rage. Now, remember, I mentioned that I fell asleep irritated, but it was worse when I fell asleep angry. And We'll get into the issues of falling asleep angry. But long story short, now the next day comes after I fell asleep irritated, so I woke up now closer to angry. And then it was time to finally speak about the problem. I was in the car, they were somewhere else. I was on the phone with them in the car. And that conversation ended up just with me yelling. I yelled for about 20, 30 minutes. Now, that's a long time. Yelling for 20 to 30 minutes is a very long time. And the yelling was from frustration for the acknowledgement of this long and deep root that I allow to grow within myself with just accepting and taking anything and allowing any and everything. And finally recognizing my own responsibility in this. You know, I told you for the longest now that I have learned some of my most impactful lessons through relationships, right? And that's the greatest way to learn lessons to me, as far as I'm concerned. It's that through your relating of others, it's how you have a better view of your character. When you are not learning from people or learning within your social interactions, it can delay your growth. We have to learn through our interactions. It doesn't necessarily mean you're terrible at relationships if you have consistent lessons that you're learning. It doesn't mean that. It just means that, yeah, you may have come from a life that really didn't foster relationship building, perhaps. Or there's other reasons that I can point to. But in my particular case, I was a sheltered child, essentially. So my lessons weren't as... I didn't really get it. I was very sheltered and extremely naive in my upbringing. So I had to learn a lot in my older years upon me moving out of my parents' home. And I learned through my relationships. However, I was just going off and snapping. And it was just, but again, it wasn't at the person at all. And they actually listened. There was no back and forth. There was no insults being thrown, none of that. It was just silence and just straight receptivity. I just completely expressed everything that I needed to express. But at this point, my anger had already progressed to rage. Again, just with the realizations of things that I thought I got through and saw that I did not, up until this reared its head and I said, oh, absolutely not. Okay, fast forwarding the end of the day, I fell asleep angry and went into a dream. This dream had everything to do with a lot of what happened the day before and with the things that I held within. In the dream, I was surrounded by a group of youth. So it could have been at this school or this facility of some sort, even I don't remember exactly where it was, but I do remember that I was surrounded by it could have been high school students, but I was younger. And one of my childhood friends was there as well. But in the dream, one of my tonsils were sutured. I had black suture within my tonsils. So one of my tonsils were removed, but it was... if I'm not mistaken, I think both of them were removed, but one of them had the suture. But, you know, when I mean suture, if you're familiar with getting stitches, it was stitched. However, it wasn't stitched with the typical medical stitching. It was stitched with black string or black rope. And it looked like from a distance in my own cognition, it was like a black shoestring. But as I got closer to it in my mind's eye, it was black rope that stitch my tonsil. And my childhood friend took his index finger and he pulled at one of the loops within my tonsil where the suture was, and he pulled some of the suture loose. Well, upon him pulling the suture loose, all of this, the rope began to unravel from my tonsil and it fell into my throat. So all of this rope is falling into my throat and just going down my neck, going down my throat. And at this point, the suture completely unraveled and there was just a pinch of string, a black rope now hanging from my throat. Just I had to reach my fingers in my mouth, past my uvula, and I had to pull out yards and yards and yards of black rope. And I kept pulling and I kept pulling and I held myself together not to gag or do any of that, but I just had to pull. And I felt the sensation. I felt the rope sliding from my throat. And I felt the just, once all of the black rope was out of my throat, I swallowed several times and I traced my tongue across my mouth. I traced my tongue across the fronts of my teeth. And I remember just essentially just feeling completely new within my mouth again. I felt good within my mouth. I actually woke up feeling good, like within my throat, I felt amazing. And I woke up feeling completely different. And I looked back and when I woke up, I looked back in my mind and I said, oh my God, that had everything to do with what happened the day before. Everything. That dream meant a lot of different things. It was the ending, essentially, of me silencing myself. It was the release of a lot of pent up things. I struggled in my youth with speaking, and not necessarily speech, although I did actually. I didn't have a speech issue, but I definitely had an issue with articulating. I remember this vividly, and I also felt unheard. You know, for my astrology people, I have a Chiron in Gemini. So as you know, what that entails, that's a whole challenge and expression and going all over the place. And if I didn't have anything written down, then I was really going to lose it. I had to practice what I needed to say. I had to practice my arguments. And even when it was time to get to that point, my courage didn't develop. And I struggled with a lot of expression. And I was often around people who would interrupt and completely disregard what I was trying to convey or communicate. That was in and of itself frustrating for me for many, many years. Now, couple that with the issue that I just expressed to you that I've held in for many, many years with this person I've known for so long and I've glossed it over and swept it. The lid had to blow off. It was time. It was just necessary. Now, let's get back to this sleeping, falling asleep irritated, falling asleep angry thing, and why we want to avoid that and why I mentioned that, you know, I would get back to it. Firstly, falling asleep angry is one of the worst things you can do for your mental, emotional, and spiritual health. It is terrible for you. Physical health as well. One, for physical health, you're not sleeping. You're not resting angry. In a scientific sense, that negative memory in your hippocampus is going deeper into the cortex. What this means is it's having a much deeper impact on your emotional health. Upon you waking, you will not feel good. And it will make it harder for you to shake it. It will make it harder for you to reconcile it. Therefore, you'll spend more time in meditation. You'll spend more time at your altars, at your shrine, and your church, whatever you need to deal with that. But you have spent hours in your sleeping with that negative memory just in your brain going deeper. You don't want that. And that's exactly what I did. And I will tell you that it took a few days for me to not only forgive myself, but the person. I still, even though I was expressed, I got all of it out, I still was angry. I still felt some type of way, and I couldn't fully figure out what that feeling type of way, what it was. And I'm like, I don't know what this is. I thought I was through it. No, I wasn't. Because days later, I thought about the reason of my anger, the reason of my yelling. And it wasn't just the issue. It was the fact that I avoided accountability and I've hidden from that for so long. I was literally yelling at myself, just unaware of it. There was such a loud and violent self-dialogue in that moment. I had no clue. I was just spewing towards myself. That I fell asleep in. Lines I drew in the sand that were crossed. But also, here's the kicker. Lines that were drawn in the sand for me that I crossed. But I was too self-centered and in this victimized state to recognize my own issues and my own failings. Another clean mirror. Beautifully clean mirror. Because listen, I was giving people roles in my life that they didn't even want to fill. You know, we do that sometimes. We give people positions, we place them on roles and in roles, and we place them on different pedestals and in positions that they didn't sign up for, they didn't agree, you didn't communicate anything, and you didn't say this is who they are or whatever to you. You didn't say anything. You just passively gave in someone a role in your life and held this silent expectation against them. And then when they failed to meet that, then it was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And you not realizing that you were the one at fault for doing it to begin with. There was a lot that came up that day, okay? And those following days in reflection, and even in speaking about that, I learned just in that moment when speaking through elders, the importance of not going to sleep angry. I've heard about it, but I mean, did I really pay attention to that? No. But what did I develop? What did I learn from this? Even deeper compassion, deeper compassion. There's like this lesson and this deeper experience of compassion. Why? Because sometimes we don't extend others grace. We don't. When we forget that life is a two-way street, even though we're living from our own bodies, our own brains, our own life, our own all of that, so many other people are too. And if we completely tune out of that and think that it's only us that matters, and we forget that, hey, you could be just as offensive to the next person, even in your justified anger or your justified or your righteous anger, then, I mean, really, what did you learn? Now, let's get into righteous anger. Righteous anger is anger, okay? Righteous anger is anger, no matter how much you are trying to define it, given imagery, you want to find the etymology of the word. It does not matter what righteous anger is. Yeah, we have the term anger in different languages and in different intonations and all of that. But ultimately, it is angry. It is anger. Now, we know that anger is natural. So there should be no harmful association with anger or righteous anger. That's not even what this is about. It's just that some people do to avoid the feeling of whatever righteous anger makes them feel, or just the term anger makes them feel, they try to avoid it. The thing is that sometimes we hold on to anger, whether it's righteous or not, for too long, and then it turns you into someone else. In this case, with righteous anger, it had turned you into a zealot or a crusader or something along those lines, and it's pretty unbecoming. And many of you know this type of energy. You see it in the social media sense, where a lot of people are, they're hell-bent on a certain thing because they're holding on to this anger they've never let go, and they feel loyal to a cause, and they have to just speak and speak and speak and preach and preach and preach, and they almost become this militant monster. For some, it can affect their relationships to the point where in their local vicinity, they're highly disagreeable, highly combative, oppositional. Yes, I know firsthand. There are indeed people that exist like this, not just in the social media world, but they do show up on social media and in person, will reject and completely close their lives off to expansion and advancement because they're so fixed to a certain state of being that is completely archaic. And the idea of evolution does not exist, and it's pretty much, it's like a handicap to be fixed and consumed in an energy filling their bones, locks them in place, it locks them rigid, literally, and that's something you want to avoid. Because what's going to happen is life will be sitting on the other side of you, watching you get so fixed into a skin that, and an emotion that you're wearing as a skin for your identity. You've been so wrapped up in this thing, you're so wrapped up in perversion and all of this stuff that bothers you, that now that's your identity now. And life is watching you like, nah, it's time that you grow now. It's time that we gotta get from this. Life will require you to change your skin. And if you wear it too tight, the separation will be extremely painful. You'll find yourself in a position where, all right, it's time to go through a new threshold. This door opens up and the door expands across your field of vision. And life is like, all right, well, in order for you to get through this door, this doorway, which is a bit smaller than you, you must remove the skin that you currently are wearing. And that skin that you're wearing is about a foot too thick for you to get through this door. Take that off, all of it, and come through. The more reluctant you are, the more that pain, the more you risk loss of life getting through. And when you finally commit and when you finally get through it, you'll see in retrospect how great your life is, or maybe you'll in the moment, in the present, once you get through it, just how easy breezy life can be. But that experience right there can be jarring for many, being fixed to something that is completely antithetical to what life requires from all of us, which is to evolve. I'm gonna even stretch out on a limb and say that there are times occasionally where people will sign up for crusades and join different social movements and be the spokesperson on the dying hill for a thing because they refuse to look at their own lives and examine their own collective, their own life, their own business. And it's much easier to garner a following being the browbeater, you know what I mean? And that's never cute. It's never ever cute. Not because we're all about decorum and elegance here, which is the truth, but I mean, to have all that on the inside of you is what I'm referring to. That is a heavy, and it's also caustic, and it just doesn't feel good at all to have that within you for extended periods of time, and then you're preaching and creating content, and the anger that you're in, that's consuming you, even down to the typing, all of that. That's a full-on meditative experience. You're genuinely mindful and minding all of that. Are you? Listen, ain't no way in the world. A cool head serves the collective, whereas emotions sway them. And you can remove the polarity from that. Cool, you know. But ultimately, I would highly advise for being cool in all things, having a cool, tempered mind. And especially for you hypersensitive people, it's very similar to myself that you feel it all. It's critical that you create a consistent practice. It has to be consistent. You need to be centered emotionally at all times. Start with breath work. That's a thing. You know, these are things that I do. You know, I've seen and I've done some breathing activities where you breathe in holding a certain count. I'll give you one of mine I've done before. Breathe in at a count of four, hold it in for a count of eight, and exhale for 8 seconds. Or you just might need to breathe and count. Bring your attention to your inhales and your exhales. Some breathwork activities. There's therapy sessions you can attend. Of course, as always, creating art. That's always amazing. Yoga, going to your altars, your shrines, reading the Bible, reading a book. The list is endless. But you need a consistent practice to maintain your equilibrium, your wellness, your homeostasis. It needs to be on point at all times, because if you find yourself knocked crooked or knocked to the side, it throws off your day. Trust me. Ask me how I know. Don't waste your time striving for faultlessness. Or like this spotlessness. Don't waste your time on that. Just strive for purity. And purity is literally authenticity. And as life continues to life, your purity, your commitment to authenticity and your integrity gets to be brighter. Your character is in alignment. You're good. So don't focus so much on just this being pure in or faultless in the sense where you think that it means you don't make mistakes and you're only supposed to be structured in this one way and move this one way at all times and you can't make mistakes. And if you do, that means you're terrible and you're going to hell in a handbasket. No. Strive for purity. Purity is dope. And we don't talk about that enough. We always think purity just simply means chastity, and it doesn't. But take off the crusader cape. Okay, take off the crusader cape and just invest the energy that you envision, or maybe you conceptualize about the collective and the importance of the collective, knowing something, the conceptualization that you have, do something. You know what I mean? There's many things you can do to serve the populace. One of those things is going to therapy, because we often think that just by us expressing our anger to the world and screaming in an echo chamber that we are in fact facilitating change and we're not. And sometimes we just might need a therapist in some way. This is not even me trying to tell someone how to feel. This is not me telling someone how to process their anger. That's a whole nother situation. We're talking more so in the sense of finding causes and caping for a cause and then getting in this militant, not even self-righteous, but just hyper-fixated attention on that. And the reasoning behind it is completely cerebral versus the work, the showing up in work does not, it's not congruent, because that's also another issue that we must address. We love to speak and say the thing. The speaker is a speaker. But is the speaker a doer? And speaking is not doing enough sometimes. Do we see the speaker serving and contributing and doing the things for themselves that in fact are collective oriented? To seek healing within the self, by default, it is a passive contribution to the collective. You don't have to be donating 35 cents or making pies or selling raw chickens. That's not necessarily something you need to do. I can guarantee you going to therapy or getting through your challenges, if you're a public speaker in training, certain things that you have to get through, the fears you have to, there is a call on your life just by default, which will in fact help the next person. It is for the collective. You don't have to be super oriented to the collective in order for you to get work on yourself or to do, it doesn't have to be that way. I understand this focus of individualism versus the collective, but many people think that because they're speaking of focusing and working on themselves, that the collective is completely out of sight, out of mind. That is extremely false. You know what I mean? But ultimately, do that and you'll be great. And silence and reflection are your besties. They are definitely my besties, and they have been my besties in the passing few months. And a lot of heart work and a lot of just different things, yoga and sitting down and meditating in certain poses and all of that stuff has been extremely impactful for me. But yeah, the different exercises, the breathing exercises, they're not just exclusive to the hypersensitive. I mean, these are exercises everyone can do. But anger is anger in all its forms, in the righteous and in the regular, whatever you want to call it, anger is anger. And I do highly advise that one takes a second and recenter themselves when they notice that they are holding on to it for too long. Patience and a cool head is your friend. Calmness is your friend. You make the best decisions when you are in a cool and calm state of mind. I can assure you that. Guaranteed, your best decisions are made when you are in a centered state of mind. Now, some would say, hey, I got to my limit and I left this toxic relationship and that was the best decision I've made in my anger. More power to you. But for the most part, the exception to the rule does not make the rule, okay? You definitely want to temper that. But that's all. That's all I wanted to share. Follow me on IG at The Pain of Fool. You can find me on Twitter at Pain of Fool Pod. I'm also on YouTube and my website, thepainoffool.com. Until such time, love the muffins. Peace.